Clock on WEFT Community Radio, followed by See You at the Show, which is coming up next. Stay with us after that for Surfer Billy Freakout at 6, Freeform Music at 7, Roots, Rock, and Reggae at 8 p.m., and Get In Your Jammies at 10. See You at the Show believes that creating our work and the opportunity to share it with you is a privilege. Our ability to gather in theater spaces and engage with perspectives other than our own is a privilege that we consider sacred. Because of this, it's important to us that we acknowledge both the indigenous land we occupy as well as the hands that built the country and cities we call home. We acknowledge the continued displacement and oppression of Native people and that the land which we gather on was taken through deception, coercion, violence, and genocide. We honor Native people's commitments to survival, identity, and the protection of our world. We also acknowledge that the United States was built at the often fatal expense of forcefully enslaved Black people. We acknowledge those who still cannot safely walk down the streets or fully enjoy fundamental civil rights and freedoms. We acknowledge that our Twin Cities and county remain segregated and inequitable. We aim to cultivate space for Black stories to be uplifted and for Black lives to be celebrated. We pledge to infuse our work with the true values of anti-racism. We acknowledge and experience in this space respect and gratitude, along with the intention to spark more awareness, compassion, and empathy for every life in our community. I don't even know what day it is. It's some day in mid-March. But I know what day is coming soon, and that is opening day, opening night for See You at the Show's first produced play ever, Fireflies. More on that coming up soon, along with a very special guest in the studio with me today. First, let's take care of some regular business, which includes... You don't want to throw away your show. I know I don't want to throw away mine, which is why I guess I'm going to be in a musical next month. That's kind of crazy. Here's some auditions coming up. If you're a kid, it's time to start thinking about what summer theater you're going to do. If you live in the Danville area or can get there, Red Mask Players is doing Pollyanna. Don't know that story. Grades 3 through 8. Also, kids, no, more like teens, Puffs. At the Twin City Theater Company. I saw St. Thomas More did this show 4 or 5 years ago. My nieces were in it. It's pretty funny. Grades 5 through 12. Those auditions are April 9th. Pollyanna auditions are coming up this weekend, March 19th and 20th. More information on that at seeyouattheshow.com/auditions, along with all of the CPD youth seeth. I was going to kind of like rap beat that, but I failed. Youth theater signups. It's kind of a tongue twister. You can have an experience with a really amazing director and staff. They're doing Matilda Jr. for grades 3 through 6, High School Musical for grades 6 through 12. I wish I could get my kid out to reprise his role as Troy Bolton, but I think he's going to be busy playing golf. We also have grown-up theater. If you live in the Peoria area, Cornstalk Theater has All Shook Up, an Elvis-y musical. And Bloomington, All Shook Up is like this weekend, Friday and Saturday auditions. Bloomington has auditions coming up for the Camp Out at Heartland Theater Company, and then Community Players Theater, which still has Mamma Mia going on, and we're so awesome to lend us the refrigerator from Raisin in the Sun for our Fireflies. So if you liked Raisin in the Sun and thought they had a great fridge, another reason to come and see Fireflies. But anyway, Community Players Theater has musical auditions for Clue, the musical. That's also coming up in April. All these auditions, all the information on them is at seeyouattheshow.com/auditions. Just go to seeyouattheshow.com and pull down the bar. Don't type all that in. All right, this is the end of the Hamilton music. Sorry, guys. So I have No co-host today. Linda was unable to make it. So stepping in as co-host and featured guest is the one, the only Kimmy Schofield. Hi, Kimmy.
How are you?
I'm really good. I'm a little bit jazzed, actually, because this is, I've kind of been like waiting to talk too much about fireflies on this show because I knew that I wanted to do like a whole show about it.
Yeah.
And so, I think one of the main things that's going to be hard for me is because I've kind of wanted to keep my own voice out of fireflies. So maybe that makes me not want to talk about it. But today I'm promoting it, so I'm going to let my voice be heard.
Yes, the time is now.
So Fireflies is a play by Donye Love. He wrote this as part of a trilogy. And yes, this is the middle one.
Correct.
The first one was about enslavement. And what was that?
Yes, it's called Sugar in Our Wounds.
Okay, so that was kind of like Black and queer Black history in the enslavement era. Our show, Fireflies, is about that same thing in the civil rights era. And the third one is in the Black Lives Matter movement.
In the middle.
In the middle.
Yes.
We got to find that and read it.
Yeah, I agree.
It's supposed to be pretty, ours is really deep and multi-layered. Apparently the last one is kind of like shockingly violent and in your face.
Yeah, I bet. The description sounds like it. I'm sure that the other two are amazing, if it says anything about what this one is like.
So the Odyssey of Fireflies coming to Champaign, actually technically coming to Urbana next month, next week. Gosh, I still can't believe it's here. Next week, 1 week from tonight, this is opening at the IMC. And it's been about almost a two-year kind of journey for this show related to see you at the show and are producing it. Back when the pandemic first started, and just a couple months after the pandemic started, the Black Lives Matter movement got real for us.
Sure.
Here and everywhere in the world. And we dedicated a lot of time on this show to turning over the mic to Black theater contributors and colleagues in our community. And we decided we were going to do what we could. And one of those things that we thought we could do is maybe we could be part of bringing like Black voices out. There has been pretty good response by some of the other theaters to committing some time and some energy and some resources to the same thing. So we started looking for plays to read, and we found Fireflies. And one of the things that also appealed to us was the fact that it could possibly be done in a sort of streaming capacity because there were only two actors.
Oh.
And so when we were thinking of it being a COVID era sort of a show, we thought, okay, this could, you know, it's hard to find a show that can actually work on
right.
Zoom.
Yes.
Here, the words and the language and just the speaking of the words I thought would be powerful. And I know just when you and your co-star and co-director, Cedric Jones, were working on it, we were doing some of the just initial read-throughs on Zoom, I was like, we could just do this. I could, because you made me cry, you made me get goosebumps, you made me do so many different things just watching it on screen. So I think we actually could have done that, but we didn't do it. And we then applied for a grant to the Urbana Arts Council and got a grant. So now we could really put on a live show. And it finally is coming together. We've got Kimmy and Cedric, not just the featured actors in it, but doing double duty, which probably feels like quadruple, also directing the show. So that's, I guess, that's the history of it. And now that it is here, Kimmy, why don't you tell us a little bit about what the show is about?
Sure, I definitely will. Fireflies, two-person show, and it is, as Eric said, it is deep, and there are a lot of nuances in it, but it is about a woman named Olivia, and is somewhere in the Jim Crow South, and Olivia's husband, Charles, is a preacher, and I don't want to give too much away about what happens, but essentially, they are working together to help kind of bring the community together and make everybody aware of what is going on with the oppression with everybody in the U.S., really the world, but especially people of color. And Olivia really works on finding herself and finding her own voice and figuring out her place. And I think that Charles is doing the same thing, and the writers, all three of his shows really focus around love and what love means and how that plays out between relationships throughout all those periods of time in the Black community. And it's really, there's sad parts, there are funny parts, there are uplifting moments in it, and it's just, it's really beautiful, and it's really nice to work with. The production team, of course, has been wonderful, and I've worked with Cedric in a two-person show before as well, and I'm really happy to have him here to help bring this one to life, because I think it's really important to do.
So I didn't see that first show that you did. It was Mountaintop,
yes.
And it was Twin City Theater Company.
That's correct.
And was that at the Soto Theater?
Yes, it's at the Soto Theater, and Dustin Yoakam directed it, and it was just... We didn't have an intermission in that one either. We don't have one in Fireflies either.
Yeah, it's 75 probably minutes. We haven't really done it with all the, you know, figuring out how you're going to do the blocking and where the pauses are going to be.
In and out.
Yeah. Yes. So we've got a... Okay, but anyway, tell me a little bit about Mountaintop. Like, what was that show about?
Mountaintop, another beautiful show, two-person show, and it is the story of Martin Luther King Jr., he is in his hotel room, and it takes place, the date comes right at the start, and so it takes place the day before his speech where he is assassinated. And the maid of the hotel, which was my character, and Cedric Jones played Martin Luther King Jr., comes in, and she starts asking questions and kind of delving into Martin Luther King Jr.'s life, and it's pretty quirky, and there's a lot of magical realism involved in it, but ultimately... Can I give away what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Ultimately, yeah, it's very good. Ultimately, she really brings out Martin Luther King Jr.'s, you know, there are rumors about his behavior and everything that he did aside from just being a huge civil rights activist. So she really pulls out his insecurities, his flaws, things that we've heard about in the past, along with his strengths. And ultimately, you find out that the maid is actually an angel who has been sent down because he's not going to be with us the following day.
Oh, that is a huge spoiler.
Huge spoiler. Huge spoiler. I told you. But.
Well, we've been trying. I've been like contacting Diane and John and trying to find if there's any video of that, because everybody I say, when I tell them I'm doing a play and that you two are acting, and they're just like, oh, they did Mountaintop. This is amazing.
I will have to delve deep. I might be able to find something that you might be able to view.
Okay.
I'll have to double check though, because I know it's so hard. It's so hard to film.
Well, you don't remember. Can't you just, maybe after rehearsal this weekend, you guys can just perform it for me.
Yeah, we can. We'll just bring it right back. It'll be perfect.
Uh-huh.
Around the same era, so we could just use similar costumes.
Yeah. And so was that before or after On the Exhale?
That was
probably before.
Before, yes, because I had a 4-person, then a 2-person, then a 1-person.
What was the 4-person?
And that. Four person was Cock at the Station Theater.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, On the Exhale was a one woman just masterpiece production. It was the first time I'd knowingly seen you on stage.
Oh, yes.
And that was another thing. Like I really wanted to drag you back into that show, because I thought why didn't we try to do that during the COVID era? Because course would be something.
Yeah,
you
just
could
one
do.
Person doing it.
It wouldn't be as powerful as seeing you in that. And that was one time I really loved the Soto Theater, because I could just sit in the front row like 5 feet from you while you're going through this.
Yeah,
and set,
no props, nothing. No.
and that's why I like the front row, because like in movies, I don't want to see other people's heads in front of me, because I want to completely suspend my belief I am in that movie.
Yes.
And when you can do that in theater and be in that, just in that show, that's spectacular. So let's talk. We're doing the show at IMC. I've been only to one other play ever at IMC, and that was Machinal, which Parkland did pretty right before COVID shut down.
Okay.
They did a split show. They did half of their run at Parkland in the Black Box Theater, and then half of their run at IMC.
Oh, really?
And that was really neat to see it in both places, because
it
was the same show, of course, but it was almost like... And blocking must have been the same, but it just felt like a really completely different show.
Yeah, I'm sure it translated differently. Probably the same effects to the audience, but, you know, slightly different, which is really cool.
And so we have been transforming, like, it seems like rehearsal by rehearsal, bringing in little pieces and big, gigantic pieces, big, heavy pieces, and that's why I'm slouched down because my back hurts, into transform the kind of the main area, I don't know if there's a word, just kind of the main open area of IMC into the living room of Olivia and Charles Grace.
Yeah.
And not the living room, mostly in the kitchen.
Mostly
actually.
Kitchen.
Yeah.
But living space, I mean, we live there. We
yeah. It's kind of just like, it's a big one bedroom.
It's
like,
our home.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I want to hear you read because I think that this little, sure. this monologue, which comes at the beginning, you can kind of just set the table. But this is, it kind of explains where the name comes from of the play. And a little bit of what's going on with Olivia in her brain. I think I set it up.
Yeah, you did. You set it up well, though. I was good. That's correct. There's some foreshadowing. I think that, you know, there are surprises throughout the play, but that was a really good setup.
All right. Well, let's hear Kimmy Schofield doing Olivia from Donye Loves Fireflies.
Last night I had a dream the sky wasn't on fire anymore. After all this time, it just wasn't anymore, but it was still so bright. The sky was filled with fireflies. For as far as your eyes could see, there were fireflies. I didn't know what to do. I got so used to the fire that seeing fireflies in the sky actually scared me. So I start to pray. I ask, what does it all mean? And I hear him. I hear God. His voice is real faint. I was struggling to hear him, but I do. He says, each firefly is one of my colored kids flying home. That scared me even more because it was so many. I would much rather have fire. I'm used to that. I'm used to the bombings and crosses burning and all of that. I'm not used to seeing God's children fly home.
You've been saving even better stuff than you've been given in rehearsals, Kimmy. That's what you're in for, 75 minutes of that. But yeah. That's what's weird about it.
There are conversations, though. It's not just
I know, but you start me off like that. But then, so it almost, I almost feel like, is it okay to laugh at this funny stuff? Because because the interplay between you and Charles, it is so, it feels really natural. I mean, I guess the part that's because you two have acted together, but it also seems as though you both really get the voices that this has been written in.
Yeah, I mean, he wrote it so well. I especially with, not that Charles is not nuanced, but Olivia, as I'm sure we could tell from that little tiny snippet of it, has a lot going on, a lot of emotions, a lot of things that she's trying to work out, and it comes through with every line. The way that it is written really lets it shine, even if there wasn't anything emoting behind the words. I think that it would be easy to pick up, but yeah, it's cool. Cedric is dedicated and I'm dedicated. And when we were asked, hey, should we do this? We thought, yeah, we can do this. Let's do it.
So I listened for the second time today to an interview with Donye Love. And I wanted to kind of let him be a little bit part of our talk today. I was going to do it like as though he was here and like ask him his fake, who's a Randy guy who does all the theater videos, Randy Rainbow. Have you ever seen Randy Rainbow? He's a super flamboyant dude. He makes all these YouTube videos of him doing pretend interviews with people, like politicians usually, and just really kind of making fun of them by like asking questions and then just using their answer. So like, so Donye, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I am Donye R. Love. I am a writer. I am a HIV and AIDS advocate and activist. Abolitionist, community builder, and a lot of the work I create, whether for the stage or beyond, is rooted in holding space for my community, specifically my community of individuals who exist on the intersection of Black, queer, and living with HIV, right? Like, how can I create work, whether art, our advocacy that holds space for us and that gets to show us in the fullness in which we exist that we seldom get to see. So
that's what's really interesting about the way that he expressed that is that's a lot of the sort of thing that Latrell Bright was talking about when she did a whole show one time back in the summer of 2020. No guests, she just talked about, and she titled it, I think she wrote out a lot of it in advance, or at least outlined it, See Who at the Show. Because so much of what we have in our community, and I think just in theater nationally, is you don't see, not only do you not see Black faces that much on the stage, but you don't get to hear the voices, which in turn makes blackface is a lot less like, it's just like a vicious cycle.
Sure.
And that's one of the things I think it's really cool for him to say why he does what he does. And this next little clip is why this trilogy.
Certain stories not being reflected, right? And individuals not seeing themselves represented are seldom seeing themselves represented. And I was just really interested in, me and my queer ass was interested in queerness, as I always am, and specifically queerness throughout history, right? And so what was queerness, specifically Black queerness, like during the time of enslavement? What was it like during the time of the civil rights movement? And what is queerness, Black queerness, like now, specifically during like the Black Lives Matter movement? Because one thing I know for sure is our Black gay asses didn't just pop up into the scene, insert date here, right? We've always existed, but systems and forces made it so that we weren't able to be our full selves, right? Where history has done everything it could to erase us. And I wanted to use my work to kind of shift that narrative. And so I started with Sugar in Our Womb.
So does it feel as though you're kind of like telling a story that resonates meaning still today?
Oh, absolutely, yes. And Cedric and I actually discussed even, what do we make this play modern?
Oh, really?
And we quickly said no, because of some of the historical things that are in it, but it could be
might have been easier to find a fridge.
Yeah, it might have been easier.
But maybe heavier to move it.
But I think it could be translated to today with no problem at all. And that's sad, but I'm glad that we're giving an opportunity for the stories and the voices and the faces to be heard and to be seen and continue progressing.
Well, my God, that speech that you just read for us, mm-hmm. I mean, that could have been read in the summer of 2020 or
absolutely.
Any time with just gun violence generally, police gun violence specifically. It sadly does resonate a lot. And as well as, you know, there are sexuality issues in it, there's like gendered power dynamics, mm-hmm. and those things are, again, all still so relevant. Here, you touched on, or I think we were talking before we went on the air, of how you didn't even realize that Donye was a man.
Correct.
And so this is one of the things he kind of has to say about what this is, what he was trying to do here.
Fireflies is also a love letter to Black women. I know so many people say like, this is a love letter, but the play is actually crafted in a way where it is a literal letter, right? So it's a love letter for Black women. And that was another reason what made writing this play difficult, because Sugar in Our Wombs, the first play in the trilogy, and in the middle, the final play in the trilogy, they look at queerness through a male-centered lens. And Fireflies looks at it through a different lens, right? And so I really wanted to do as much as I possibly could as a man to really show respect and to get the fullness as much as I possibly could in Black women and Black women's journey, specifically during that time period. So to hear you say that.
I never really thought about how, I think every show that I've been in has been written by a man. How, is that anything where you've ever been a character and said, this isn't the right voice for what I'm supposed to say?
I think maybe once. I think, being a mixed person here is, for me, I'm able to kind of go in and out of different roles if they're not written specifically to something, and I certainly don't want to dishonor any of the roles. But I definitely wasn't offended by one of the roles, and it was in Sleep Deprivation Chamber, which was beautiful and amazing, and Latrell directed it. And I know that I did not have an issue with it, but one of the women characters who I played was a lawyer, and there was some line or something that specifically said that the lawyer was supposed to be white. And so I do not remember how it came up, and it by no means was an argument or anything shutting down, but I remember somebody saying, huh, are we going to be able to do this with you stepping into the role? Because somebody wasn't able to do the role, and then I stepped in. And it quickly went right away, but I cannot imagine being on the opposite end of that side and having somebody flat out tell you, no, you can't do this, you won't be able to fit this role, or not even being able to audition because a role is specifically written for a white person or anything.
Wow. Well, there are so many elements to that, and I guess it's what makes sometimes deciding what play to put on, deciding who the right director is, when there are issues of both, especially now when we get into a much more gender fluid sort of a world, and I think we're going to see more and more works where, you know, it's just we're casting a person in this role.
Yeah.
And where when the race isn't a factor, and maybe sexuality isn't, although that's a tough one too, because I think that there's a lot less of an issue with a gay person playing a straight person than there would be straight gay, and that's probably fair, but it's complicated.
Yeah, it's complicated.
Yeah. I guess that sums up a lot of this. The last clip I want to play of Donye is him saying what he hopes people leave the theater. What's the walk away? What is the takeaway? What does he want people to feel after they're done with 75 amazing minutes of Olivia and Charles in Fireflies at the IMC?
With that being said, what I would hope that folks walk away with is choosing themselves, right? Even in what seems to be the most difficult of circumstances and situations, right? You can still choose yourself. Even when other individuals are involved in whatever the situation is, you can still choose yourself, right? And so for me, I hope that with watching Fireflies and going on this journey with these two characters, specifically with Olivia, the individuals walk away with saying, I can choose me. It's not selfish to choose me. I acknowledge other parties involved, and I want to hold space for other parties involved, right? But at the same time, I am choosing me, and that actually is okay. So I hope.
It makes me think we should have a talk back. Have you done talkbacks?
Yes, we did a talkback. I guess we just did it for On the Exhale. That's the only one that I've been involved in.
Oh, man,
that's
I would
not
have loved
true.
To
we
be
did
there.
It in Elephant's Graveyard as well. And yeah, On the Exhale was really an interesting talkback. We had Mike Ingram lead it. And the content of the show is a woman who essentially is on a journey figuring out gun violence and her relationship with guns after her child is taken from her by gun violence.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't sure how the talkback was going to go. I have plenty of people who I am friends with or I know who shoot guns for fun or grew up around guns, and many came to the show, and then many on the complete opposite end of the spectrum came to the show. And I wasn't sure what direction it was going to take, but everybody was so respectful, and Mike Ingram did an amazing job just leading it and asking questions and sharing his story. And Elephant's Graveyard was a cool talk back.
Well, if you see one of our directors later, you might want to run this idea by one of them about whether we should do a talk back, and if so, what night. And I'll see what I can do to get Donye to fly in, because
be
my God, that would be amazing. When I get ideas, I usually kind of go through with them. But anyway, here's the deal. Fireflies opens next Thursday night at 8:00, one act, 75 minutes at the IMC. We're going to do evening performances Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then 2:30 on Sunday.
Correct.
Anything else you want to say?
No, just come and enjoy it. Come see it, enjoy it. Even if it doesn't sound like your style, you can appreciate theater, and I think something will resonate with you.
You want to bring a group? Send me a message. I'll cut you a big group deal.
Yeah,
we want people to
deals.
See this show. That's more important than anything. Coming up now, Surfability Freak Out. Thank you for joining us on See It Show.
You are listening to WEFT Champagne 90.1 FM. This has been the Weft Courier for Thursday. Join us for the Weft Courier every weekday for Democracy Now! At 4 p.m.